special guest with us here. This is David Lawrence, his wife Liz. I've known of him from our own son Daniel. He ministers out of Shoreline, but he also ministers across this nation and around the world today in a ministry that's called Renew Ministries International. We showed you guys the video clip that we're here Sunday, 3 minutes long, here about the Can a Nation Be Changed in a Day from Honduras last year. Very, very impressive to see what God did in that country with this group here that did evangelism. They did medical clinics here, helped to dig some wells, doing things with businessmen, leadership as well. And now, of course, their shift is going to go next year in July to the Dominican Republic. So I've invited David to come here and share tonight things about perhaps the background. You can introduce your group that's here with you as well and talk about what's happening here in Dominican Republic next year and whatever lays on your heart to talk about here. Just go ahead and share that. You have a whole hour here if you need that tonight. So just take your time and you can come and share here with us your vision, what you're doing here in ministry, and just go from there. God bless. Let's go ahead and welcome David now as he helps us out tonight.
Awesome. Can you guys hear me? Oh, it's so great to be here. Such an honor to be here at this great church. Pastor Mike, thank you so much for having us. And, you know, you should never tell a preacher that he has an hour. That's just you're prepared for cruelty right there. But anyway, it's so great to be here with you guys. It is an honor to be here, to stand and just speak here on your Wednesday night service here. I want to introduce first the most hottest, prettiest woman in all of Texas. Her name is Liz. Liz, come up here, honey, for a second. She is in full-time ministry herself. She leads a counseling center down in South Austin. And I just want you to, like, say hi and share. Do we have a microphone
okay.
or anything?
Okay. I'll project. Can you, like, hear me okay if I talk this loud? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. Thanks, Gabe. Okay.
I totally put you on the spot, didn't I?
You totally put me on the spot.
I know.
That was awesome.
'Cause I love you.
But you like to do that.
I love you.
Oh. So, like David said, I am a counselor in Southwest Austin. I'm the director of a counseling center there called Streams Counseling Center, and I'm actually on staff at a church called Austin Oaks Church, actually in the corner of Southwest Parkway and South Mopac. So if you have any friends, anybody in your community who does need a counselor, a life coach, a Christian clinical professional to come alongside them in a time of need, we can definitely help them out down in that part of the world. I am excited to be a part of that ministry, but I'm also very excited to be a part of the ministry that David and I get to do called Renew. Renew is a huge part of just our hearts being put into fruition and being able to see those come out to impact the lives of many people across the world. David and I have a heart for the nations. It's been that way ever since we were both born, so it's exciting to be able to see, even now, this partnership that we're doing with One Nation One Day that you guys got to see a little taste of last week. So that's kind of a little bit about me. Is there anything specific you were thinking?
No, I just want to see you like talk in the microphone because you look really cute.
Oh, okay, thanks, babe.
All right. Awesome. And we also have some of our friends with us, Dan and Julie James. They're some of our team members. Julie is actually a counselor herself as well, and she's an awesome Christian counselor. So if you don't want to drive all the way down south, she's right up here in Pflugerville. They actually live like right around the corner here. So definitely connect with her and stuff. They do just amazing work. Thank you so much, honey. Awesome. Great. Well, cool. Well, we're going to share some fun stuff with you guys, some of the things that that we're doing around the world. When I was 12 years old, I really felt a strong presence that God called me into ministry. It was one of those experiences that I will never forget even to this day. And when I was, I would say, probably about 10 or 11 years old, some things happened in our family that I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit tonight. But before I do, I want to just jump right into the scriptures here, into Proverbs 13:12. I'm reading out of the NIV version. It says, "A hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is like a tree of life." I thought that would be a great scripture to read here at this church. A hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is like a tree of life. I like how it reads in the Message version. It says, "Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around. Everyone say, a sudden good break can turn your life away, your life around. A sudden good break can turn your life around. Over the years, and maybe even in your own life, we've all have experienced our share of failures. How many even here have experienced that there's things in our past that we don't really like to highlight on Facebook or on Instagram a whole lot? We just kind of like to, you know, just kind of keep in the back. And if anybody really gets curious, like a pastor or a counselor, then we may open up to them if we feel, a sense of trust or whatever. But all of us here we've all experienced disappointments. We've all experienced failures. We've all experienced things in our lives that, if we look back, life has thrown us some right curveballs. All right? Can we all agree on that? Sometimes, you know, you get up and you do not expect certain things to happen in your life. And you feel like things have just kind of punched you in the face. You know, you feel like you got in a wrestling match or a boxing match with a Mike Tyson, and life has just been, and another thing has been, and things have just been, and things have just been going on. And you just wake up one day and you're like, wow, what is going on? And you read this verse and you say, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break. I love that word sudden because that's the timing of the Holy Spirit. The sudden good break can turn your life around, and it can happen in just a moment. Just like how life has thrown you some dark-wrenching failures. There's probably some things in your life that has happened, and they've happened suddenly. So as the Holy Spirit can come in and just suddenly turn your life around. Over the years, I've experienced my share of failures and disappointments and also tragedy. I'm convinced that there are three different kinds of pain that all of us go through in our lives. The first kind of pain is the pain that we self-inflict on ourselves. You know, we can't blame it on anybody else. We can't blame it on the devil. We just did it. You know, I remember when I was younger, I went through my season of what I call stupid. And, you know, and then there are some people we know that go through the season of stupid, maybe a little longer than others, okay? We all know those people. But we all, like, make decisions and do certain things that we're like, okay, we cannot blame anyone else. We can't blame it on the devil. It was just me being stupid, being young, being dumb, and enjoying every bit of the season of stupid. There's pain that you inflict on yourself. The second kind of pain is the pain I brought on by other people. You know, I will admit to you that some Christians in the world are kind of weird. Some Christians on the planet are not nice people. Have you ever met a Christian that says they love Jesus, but they're just not fun to be around? Yeah? Have you ever met somebody that that claims to follow Jesus, but they just have just a lot of hurt and pain in their own life they haven't dealt with? I love what I heard a pastor say a few years ago, hurt people hurt people. You know, hurt people hurt people. And so sometimes if you're going to be on this journey of faith, if you're going to be on this journey of following Jesus, he made it very plain. If you're going to follow Jesus, this journey is not easy. There's going to be people that are going to come up to you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to say harsh things to you. This is not an easy cakewalk. So if you came into Christianity thinking that life was easy, life was a box of roses, life was very easy, then I'm sorry, but somebody lied to you. Because all of us in here have experienced failures. All of us have experienced regrets. All of us have experienced disappointments. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we can walk through them and live victorious. Can I say amen? Is anyone like paying attention? All right, cool. I preach myself happy sometimes. So I get on to my own little tants there. But anyway, sometimes pain is brought on by other people. The third type of pain is the pain I didn't expect. Now, the pain I didn't expect is what we would call major crisis or major tragedies in life. When I was 10 years old, my three-year-old brother, Jalen, I found him. He drowned in our pool in our backyard when our family lived in Dallas, Texas. I was 10 years old. He was 3 years old. We had a barricade, and it was mine and my brother's job to watch and keep an eye on him. You know how three-year-olds are. You know, sometimes they're there 1 second, and then you blink. They're like ninjas. They're like, poof! You know, they can disappear on you. And so, tragically, we lost our baby brother because he got away from us. He was doing something that he wasn't supposed to do after our parents disciplined him several times, you know, not to do certain things. And he drowned in our backyard pool. That is a pain we did not expect. Sometimes people wake up and they realize that they had cancer, or another family member has cancer. That is a pain they did not expect. Someone wakes up and they realize, oh, my child is about, you know, I'm about to lose my baby. That is a pain that nobody expected. Things happen in life that people just do not expect. And we have to, like, sometimes be able to walk through, navigate through those seasons of life, because there's the pain that I self-inflict. There's the pain that other people do to me, and there's the pain that I did not expect. I want to share with you tonight the story of two disciples that followed Jesus. One was Peter, and the other one was Judas. These two disciples betrayed Jesus on the same night, and it became a memorial in their lives. I've noticed throughout, when you study church history, when you study world history, and just when you study even human behavior, that there are some people that are able to move on and move forward past these pains and situations in life, and then there's others that don't, because they like to build a memorial around the pain that's happened in their life. My family had a blow to when we lost our baby brother, Jalen. And then a year and a half later, we lost our stepfather, who was John, who was like a father to me. He taught me the scriptures. He raised me and my brothers in a godly way. He was the one that actually, he and my mom led me to Jesus when I was younger. And so he was like a dad to me. And so losing him in a car accident a year and a half after we lost my brother, that was two major bam, bam thing that happened to our family. And I thank God every day for my mother. She was a praying woman. She knew how to, she understood the scriptures. But we did not, we chose as a family, because she was a single mom after that, with me and my brother. So it was the three of us. We chose as a family that we would not build a memorial around the pain that we did not expect. We decided on those days that we were going to keep doing what God has called us to do as a family, and that is the Great Commission. God called our family to go into all the world and preach the gospel, no matter what happens, no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what type of situation may come. God's word trumps any other word that happens. God's word trumps everything else that may happen to us. And so that's where the victory came, was being in the word of God, was being in his presence. And so after those situations happened, we decided as a family that we're going to not build a memorial around Jalen or around John. We were going to keep moving forward and doing what God's called us to do. But there were some things that God had to work in our hearts, because you just do not go through something like that. If I would sit down and listen to some of your stories, I could probably say that there are similar stories or similar situations that you have probably walked through personally in your life, that you could probably say, well, this happened to me, or this happened. And we could probably use the rest of the service and play the game, can you top this? We could play that game. And guess what? That game does not do anything for us. That game does not do anything for us. It just encourages more disappointment, and encourages more doubt, and encourages more failure, instead of drawing on Proverbs 13:12 about the sudden good break that can turn your life around. So these two disciples, Judas and Peter, they both betrayed Jesus on the same night. In Matthew 26:31, then Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me. Verse 33, Peter replied, if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Okay? This is one of those moments where, as we know Peter, he always has the foot in the mouth syndrome. Okay? So basically what he's saying, if all of them fall away, I won't, because I'm the most spiritual. I don't know if you've ever heard anyone kind of maybe play the spiritual card. Peter was just playing the spiritual card in this verse. If all of them fall away on account of you, I never will. Jesus replied, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Judas sinned and built a memorial around his sin, gave up and ended his life. Peter sinned and betrayed Jesus during his darkest hour, but he kept going. Have you ever realized that two of the people that followed Jesus, Peter denied Jesus three times. Judas betrayed Jesus. I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's greater pain. I don't know what's greater failure, denying Jesus or betraying Jesus. Two disciples the same night denied him, betrayed him. One ended his life. The other one kept going. I want to kind of just talk to you tonight about maybe there's probably things that have happened in your life. Maybe some failures, maybe some regrets, maybe some disappointments. Maybe some things of that maybe you did to yourself, pain that you inflicted on yourself. Maybe there was something that someone else did to you and you're still holding a grudge and you need to let that go and forgive that person. Maybe there's a third thing to where there's a pain of a sudden tragedy that you did not expect, but you still built a memorial over that. How do you turn a memorial into something that's not very significant anymore in your life? I believe there is a few ways how you can do that. Number one, you need to embrace God's forgiveness. Because right now, there are some people that are experiencing great pain in their life and they built a memorial. I believe God wants to turn that memorial and make it just a sentence in your life. So when people read the story of your life and read the story of what God wants to do in and through your life, not just in Austin, Texas, but around the world, and they see this moment of failure, they see this moment of pain, they see this moment of discouragement or this moment of failure that was in your life, they're not reading it this person did this. They just read just a sentence. When you study the life of Peter, his moment of failure in the scriptures is now just a sentence. He went from a memorial, then it turned into a paragraph, and then it turned into a sentence. How do we take pain that happens in our life, whether it's self-inflicted, whether it's something that's been done to you, or whether it's been a random act of tragedy that was out of our control? How do we take those moments in life and turn them into just a sentence into our life? Number one, you need to embrace God's forgiveness. If it's something that you did, you need to embrace God's forgiveness. If it's something that was totally unexpected, like a tragedy, you need to embrace God's healing in that area. The second thing, you need to forgive yourself. This was a hard one. Because sometimes it's easier to forgive someone else. Sometimes it's really hard to forgive yourself. Especially when you are coming in contact with pain and discouragement and failure that was so hard to, in your heart. Embrace God's forgiveness. The second one, forgive yourself. The third one is forgive others. Embrace God's forgiveness, forgive yourself, and forgive someone else. Who is it right now, if you could think back, if there's a pain, there's something that someone has done to you, maybe someone has said to you, that you need to let go and forgive that person? You know, I've experienced that God doesn't open up a new chapter in your life or a new season until you let go of something that you're still holding on to. I've seen even in my own life, God begins to hold certain things back until I let certain things go. Something to kind of maybe think about and pray about, you know. The fourth thing is to keep going. Peter kept going. The interesting thing about Peter was that he was one of the ones that denied Jesus three times. And that just little sentence is just a little sentence. And now we know Peter is the one that stood on the day of Pentecost and helped launch and birth one of the greatest movements that are happening today across the world, which is the movement of the local church. something that God wants to do in and through your life, whether it's in this community or in a community all over the world, He is waiting for you to embrace God's forgiveness, forgive others, forgive yourself, and keep going. You just gotta lean into God's process. There is something that I think that God wants to do in some of your hearts right now. Because some of you have been crying out, God, I want to be used by you. God, give me a new vision. God, I want to step out and do greater things. But God wants to talk about this area. He wants to talk about this relationship. He wants to talk about this friendship. He wants to talk about this part of your life. And He wants to take that part that you've turned into a memorial. And he wants to make it just a sentence in your life. So when people read your story, and when people read the things that you have done for the kingdom, they're not going to read, oh, that person had a divorce. They're not going to care if that person had a divorce. They're going to go to the end, read to the end of the chapter. They're not going to worry about the things that, the failures and the circumstances and the things that have happened in our past, because you kept going. You kept fulfilling the thing that God has put on your heart to do. And Psalm 51, 10 through 12, got ahead of myself there. The verse says here, create in me, O God, a pure heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is a scripture that I have prayed over myself so many different times when I am trying to say, Lord, how do I keep going when everything in my flesh and in my mind wants to quit? Create in me a pure heart, not an angry heart, not a bitter heart, not a frustrated heart, not a lustful heart, but create in me a pure heart and renew in me a steadfast spirit. What does that word steadfast mean? That word steadfast means a one that has clear direction, one that has clear motivation, one that has clear vision in front of them. How do I have a steadfast spirit? Well, it starts with a pure heart. It starts with letting the Holy Spirit come in and start to put things in your heart back in order. He begins to start renewing your mind and renewing your heart and renewing your sense of identity, so you are not identified by the things of the past, but you are now identified by the things of what God wants you to do and by His Word. Your identity needs to be shaped on what God says, not by what someone else says about you or some other bad experience you've had in your past. Create in me a pure heart and renew in me a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. There are some things that have happened in my life, just like I know it's happened in your life, that you cannot get through some stuff unless you have the power of God's presence within you. That is the thing that's going to sustain you. That is the thing that's going to keep you confident. That's going to be the thing that's going to keep you moving forward. You may have a bunch of people abandon you. You may have a bunch of people. You may have family members not agree with where you're at or where you're going or the decisions you make. But God's presence and His Holy Spirit is going to be with you 100% of the time, because you have decided to create in me a pure heart. And to create in me a steadfast spirit. And do not walk, do not let your presence of the Holy Spirit abandon me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, the Christian life, like I said earlier, it's not easy, but it's meant to be joyful. You know, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, you know, that's the thing that's going to keep you moving through and moving through the battles that come at you. Because Christianity, the life of a Christian following Jesus, it is a battle. He said, pick up my cross and carry it. That does not sound like a fun life to live. But it's one that's going to keep your heart pure. It's one that's going to be worth it at the end. Create in me a pure heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit that sustains me. grant in me a willing spirit that sustains me. When you are ready to quit and give up on God, He has something for you. He has a willing spirit. There have been times that I have wanted to quit a lot. Sometimes I wake up once a week wanting to quit. There have been times, like usually an average about once a week. Why? Because Christians are weird. Church people are weird. Doing this ministry thing is not easy. It's very hard. It's very hard. But what I always have to continue to do, just like you have to do, like your pastor has to continue to do, is to create in me a willing spirit that sustains me. Doesn't matter what happens around me, I live by what's inside of me, not by what's around me. That is my inner compass. That is my inner drive. That is my inner passion that keeps me moving forward every step of the way. Grant in me a willing spirit that sustains me. Not by the opinions of others, not by how I feel, but what the Holy Spirit has called us to do on a daily basis. In John 21, in chapter 21, verse 15, this is the story after Jesus resurrected and he appeared to Peter and the disciples on the beach. Remember the story? Peter saw Jesus from the beach side and said, that was Jesus. He jumped in the ocean or in the lake or what. It was more of a lake. And he swam over to the beach side, and he says, Lord, you know, is that really you? And Jesus asked Peter three times if he truly loves him. And Peter replied, yes, I do love you. He says, okay, feed my sheep and build my church. This dialogue or this encounter right here was speaking back to the failure that Peter did in his life. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Okay, good. Now go do what I called you to do. In other words, it's like this. Susie, do you love me? Yes, but I got a divorce. Okay. Susie, do you love me? Yes, but I got a divorce. Susie, do you love me? Yes, but I got to do this. Okay, great. Now go do what I called you to do. Pretty much the same type of situation. Now, I'm not downplaying divorce. I think it's not something, it's not God's best for anyone's real life. But I'm just saying, if that's anyone's past, God's future is greater than your past. Your life is not over just because you had a divorce. Your life's not over because you made some poor decisions in your life, no matter what the situation is. Basically, this encounter is pretty much saying is that if you love me, then go and feed my sheep and go and build the church. How do you keep going? What our family did, And this is just how I was raised. We connected going with how Jesus talked about going. Every time you read through the scriptures about going, Jesus talks about going into all the world. We had major life crisis in our family. People told us that you should just plant yourself in a church, be faithful, which are all good things. Everyone needs a home church, right? Everyone needs to serve, right? And just relax. And we did. We took time and we healed and we did that. But basically what the sum of it was, that's your life. But there was something inside of us that said, no, that's not it. That's not all. That's all wrapped up in this. And so what we did was we went to the nations. And I remember when after my stepfather died, like 3 months later, we were in India. I mean, it was pretty much that quickly. And I remember experiencing in my own life that I was getting healed and sensing the power of the Holy Spirit in my own heart and experiencing healing as I was reaching out to other people, the same type of healing. As they were experiencing ministry, I was experiencing ministry. There is a correlation between when you minister to someone else, it's amazing how much more ministry gets happened to you at the same time. And so I grew up in a home to where going was like a second nature to us. And by the time I was a teenager, I already had hit my 15th nation doing ministry. By the time I was 18, I hit my 19th nation. I just hit my 20th when I was in Indonesia a few months ago. I'll be hitting my 21st one when I'm in the DR in March. Going has always been a second nature to us. We believe with all our heart that I believe every Christian, every follower of Jesus is called to be a global citizen. You live here in Austin. Your residence may be in Round Rock or Pflugerville or Austin, Texas or wherever, but God has called you to be a global citizen. He has called you to take care of your home, but he's also called you to take care of nations all over the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's why I believe that the ministry of the believer is more powerful than the ministry of the fivefold. The fivefold is actually to go and train and equip and clean. You guys get to do the fun stuff. Go out and reach and get. You go out and get and you bring them here, and then pastor has to clean them. I'd rather have your job than pastors. That's why every Christian is called to be a global person. It doesn't matter if you're reaching people in your backyard or reaching people across the world. It makes no difference. It's the same. Some people would like to say, well, we should take care of those in our backyard before we start worrying about those across the world. Usually the people that have that say that, and I've learned this in the last 20 years of traveling, usually people, the ones that say that, are usually ones that don't even take care of their backyard to begin with. The point is not just in geographic. The point is in the spirit of going. And when you connect the going to when you first embrace God's forgiveness, then you forgive yourself, then you forgive others that have done wrong to you, and then you keep going. What do you keep going to? You keep going to be the world Christian that God has called you to be ever since he came to the earth when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, whether that's in your schools, whether that's in your universities, whether it's in your jobs, whether it's in the marketplace, whether that's in different areas of culture. God is calling every one of us to be a global Christian, to be a world person, and to be a going person in the world. That is what we are called to do. The ministry of the believer is called to go. And so that has been the mindset I have had as a since a 12-year-old boy. And I want to invite you into something that we are doing next year called One Nation, One Day. One of my, I went to school at Oral Roberts University, and one of my friends, his name is Dominic, he's the one that's founded this One Nation, One Day initiative. And let me give you some background, because this is a big vision. We were talking in January of this year on the phone, and my wife and I were doing a month-long fast, just the first part of the year, just praying over this year, and his face popped up as we were praying one day. And, I haven't talked to him in a couple years. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll just give him a call, see what he's doing. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, so what's going on? He says, oh, I just met with the president of Honduras. I'm like, oh, that's nice. What are you doing? I was like, well, I'm not meeting with any presidents yet, but we're doing what we do. And so we began to start talking just praying of what God was wanting to do together in this project that he's doing. And so he began to share with me some of the things that they're doing in different parts of the world. They assembled the largest missionary team in history for Honduras 2 years ago. 2,500 people they assembled across the United States all entered in Honduras at one time. They partnered with the president of Honduras, and he gave them all access to all the schools in the country. He gave them all access to all the hospitals in the country. They led medical clinics all over the nation. He also gave them 20 of the largest stadiums in the entire nation. And at the end of that week, the entire nation unified and filled up all 20 stadiums across the country and declared a new Honduras. When he sat down with the president of Honduras, he said, ever since One Nation One Day, we have seen a 40% decrease in crime and in violence in our nation. We've seen a 30% increase in school attendance in Honduras, and we have had the first peaceful presidential election in the history of our nation. That is not a missions trip. That is a reformation of a nation. And this is where missions, we believe, is coming, and what God is doing, a new thing in missions right now. We believe God is doing a whole new thing in missions and in global evangelism around the world. When most people think of missions right now, they think of a short white guy in a straw hat in Africa. That's usually what people think of. So technically that would be me. But that would be, you know, the thing is that when most people think of missions, they think of things on a very micro scale, which are doing great things, and I'm not trying to diminish that at all. But because the world has changed in the last 10 to 20 years so much, because of the advancements of technology, because of social media and everything that is going on in that world, we're seeing missions. We're seeing a new innovation that's happening in missions around the world. And we're excited to be able to partner with that and be on the front lines of what God is doing all over the world in the area of missions. And so that thing that happened in Honduras was the beginning of a new Honduras. They worked with every pastor and with every church leader in Honduras to prepare them and train them for what came ahead later in that week. What's happening in Dominican Republic next year is the same thing. They are assembling again for the second time. The world's largest missionary team in history. We're all assembling in Miami. And then we're renting several 747 aircrafts. And we're shipping everyone from Miami all over the DR all at one time. We're partnering with President Medina. He's given us, again, full access to all the schools, all the hospitals. We're leading medical clinics. We're doing conferences for business leaders. Missions conference for business leaders. Yes, because we want to impact the economy. How do you do that? You do that through the marketplace. You do that through business. We're training corporate executives and people to think bigger than just a small retail little shop. God's given you a gift for business, but it's time to think bigger. We're trying to help light the fire and fan the flame for that vision for business and the economy in the Dominican Republic. We're also doing church leadership conferences. I'll be down there in March and in April with my friend Dominic as we speak to hundreds of thousands of pastors and church leaders, preparing them, giving them tools and resources to prepare them for discipleship and for training to get ready for the big campaign that's happening in July. These are some of the things that's happening, and we want to invite you to come. We want to extend an invitation for some of you. Some of you may not be able to come. Some of you will be like, yeah, sign me up. I'm down. Here we go. That's fine. We're breaking teams up in several areas. We're putting together a school team. We're also putting together a medical team. And then I'll also have a third team for the business thing as well. And so Dan and Julie James are one of our team leaders. And so they wanted to come and be here with all of us tonight as they're leading one of the school teams. So we'll be ministering to all the schools and all the students and all the teachers and educators and all the schools in the different areas of the Dominican Republic. It's going to be an exciting time. God is doing some great things. But I wanted to share this message with you because I felt in my heart that some people here tonight may hear this vision and may say, that's not for me. Do you know what I've done? Do you know what my past has been like? Do you know some of the things that I've done in my life? And I just want to encourage you, embrace God's forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And keep going. Go where? Go to the Dominican Republic and change a nation. Because your memorial, you're building something over a memorial, and the more you keep going to build things for the kingdom, that memorial begins to turn to a paragraph, and the more you keep going, that paragraph begins to turn to a sentence. And when people look back at your life, they're not going to say, oh, there's Joe the fornicator, or there's Bob the divorcer, or there's Susie the whatever. They're going to see someone like, oh, yeah, I thought I read one sentence, something like that happened in their life, but oh well. But they launched this thing in the DR, or they're changing their community in Austin, Texas, or in Pflugerville, or they're doing these things in Tree of Life Church and around their community. One little memorial turned into a sentence, and they kept going, just like Peter when he stood up on the day in Pentecost and launched the greatest movement in history. Don't be a Judas. Don't quit and end your life. You know, some of you, you know, how Judas did it. Some of you, you know, none of us in here, hopefully you're not going to do that. But a lot of people do that in different ways. They go and sit on the sidelines. And they just spectate and watch other people go do things in their local church, in their community, and around the world. My challenge to you today is to get off the sidelines. My challenge today is to get into the game. And ask God to forgive you. If there's things that happen in your life, embrace that forgiveness, embrace that healing, and get back into the game. God has called each and every one of us here tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a business leader. One of the things I love about the new innovation that's happening in missions, things that we're doing in Renew, is that we're taking specific industry area places of the marketplace. And we're giving them a space to do missions around the world. Business leaders want to do missions. They want to give their talent and their passion and their availability. Our whole thing with Renew is customizing global experiences around a person's passion, talent, and availability. That's all we do. So if you're a business leader, great. Somebody around the world needs your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience to help their business in another nation somewhere. If you're a medical professional, somebody needs what you have somewhere in the world. If you're a counselor, somebody needs what you know and what you have somewhere in the world. Missions is not just reserved for people in full-time ministry or the super duper passionate weird Christians. That whole thing, all those days are over. And I hope our ministry can lead the charge in killing it once and for all and opening it up to a whole new realm of people that can step in and say, hey, I, with my talent, with my vocational talent, with my passion, and with all the horrible things of my past, God can still use me to go change a life and go change a nation somewhere in the world. A whole new landscape is changing in missions, and we are so excited to be on the front lines of that. So where is this all going? This is all going to this. If some of you are interested in joining us, we have some things in the lobby there on the table. We have a brochure called Dawn of a New Missions Era, One Nation, One Day. Feel free to go pick one of those up. We also have a couple pamphlets here on want to be a missionary, want to join our school team, and things like that. If that's something that God has, if you have a passion for students, you have a passion for the education system, you have a passion for being on ministering to educators and teachers, because we'll be doing that. We're going to be capturing every student's a vision on this big, big dream wall. It's going to be very exciting. We're going to be capturing their dreams and their passions. So hundreds will be doing school rallies at every campus. It's going to be wonderful. Some of you may have a medical background or may know somebody with a medical background. We're building a team for medical doctors and nurses and pharmacists and clinic managers that can help run our clinic for a whole week while we're out there for people that have never seen a physician before. So we're specializing, customizing specific areas of vocational talent and passion and availability around this experience. And so if you're interested in doing this, you can go back into the lobby and fill one of those things out. We have a card right here. It's a One Nation, One Day card. And so if you're interested in joining the team, you can just fill one of these things out. You can talk with Dan or Julie, and we can get in touch with you and kind of coordinate some of the things on how we can ride you onto the team. And so one of the things that I want to leave with you guys here tonight is this prayer. I believe each and every one of you is called to change the world. Like I said earlier, I believe every Christian is called to be a world Christian. I believe every one of you is called to do this. Not just people that are on paid by a church, not just people that are super duper hyper Christians or passionate Christians, but I believe every one of you is called to make an impact in this generation. And so my prayer for you is that you begin to see that in your own heart and in your own life, that you'd be able to step up and get into the game of what God's called you to do. So have you guys enjoyed tonight?
Yes.
Did this bless you?
Yes.
Okay, act more excited. Yes. All right, okay, clap. Yeah, thank you. Clap like that. We're living in some exciting times, and I'm glad that we are in, I believe we are in the last days of what God's doing. And that means ministry is going to be a lot more fun and exciting. The first church had a lot of fun. They got to start it. We get to end it. So it's going to be a whole lot more fun and getting to see just things happen around the world that is just amazing. This vision for One Nation One Day comes out of Isaiah 66. Will a nation be changed, or can a nation be changed in a day? Isaiah the prophet prophesied, can a nation be changed in a day? We are seeing this prophecy that was prophesied over hundreds of thousands of years ago become a reality in the 21st century. And so we are not just doing nice little missions. We are wanting to go in and take over the entire nation and give a very big shout and let Jesus be known and make Jesus famous all over that nation. And so that is what we will be doing and what God has called us to do. And so my challenge to you tonight, forgive yourself. Embrace God's forgiveness. Forgive others. Before you fill out this card, you may need to forgive somebody. Before you say yes to this, you may need to embrace God's forgiveness somewhere in your life. And then my challenge is to keep going. Where do you go? In all the world, because you're a world Christian. You're not just an Austin person. You just live here. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's not Austin, by the way. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's not by Austin. You live here, but the whole world is your territory and your freedom to go and preach and do what God's called you to do. Amen. Thank you so much for having us today. We're going to be over there in the lobby. Feel free to come up to me or my wife or Dan or Julie, and we'll be able to talk with you guys and give you guys more information on next steps. If this is something, if you felt the Holy Spirit pulling on your heart to be involved in this, we are actually also with this partnership. We are building, we have a partnership to where part of our partnership is preparing all the churches and the pastors in the Dominican Republic. And with that, we have a $15,000 goal that we are believing in Jesus for so we can train and equip every pastor in the pre-launch phase before the One Nation One Day thing in July. And so we are believing God for that. We're also, our team will be on the ground and we will be dedicating a water well. While we're there, a whole new water well in the state in the Dominican Republic, so a whole new community could have fresh, clean water and not be able to walk miles and miles, you know, for water there. And so we're doing some projects and some exciting things in the nation of the DR. And so we would love for you guys to, you know, not just be able to come with us, but be able to partner with us as well and into some of these things. And so we just thank you so much for allowing us to come out and do this. And we feel free. I mean, I live here in Austin. We are Austinites, but we are global people as well. And we are always putting together world missions and expenditures and all kinds of things all over the world. And so you can always count on us. If we're not here, it's probably because we're in the nation somewhere. So thank you guys so much. You guys have been wonderful. Get more excited. Smile more. This Christianity is supposed to be a fun race, not a depressed one. So smile. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's all yours.